But to start us off today, we are heading on down to 25A. That is the district around Rochester. Kim Hicks is the DFL candidate. She is running for that seat. She's kind enough today to join us as our Democrat of the day. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you guys today?
I'm doing very well. I got to tell you, you and I talked for about 5 minutes this morning, total 5 minutes. And I was like, wow, she's fantastic. I really, I'm going to be excited when you get to St. Paul because you are kind of the DFLer I love to chat with because your life experience just gets out there and you basically are your, it's politics from your heart and you can tell right away when you start talking to you.
Ah, thanks. I tell my teenagers all the time that I'm fun and people like me.
I do too.
It's sort of weird.
I do too, but no one ever believes me.
I know. It's the struggle. The struggle is real. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm super pumped.
Well, thank you very much for the time. I know you are really busy today. Let's, for everyone out there, give everyone an idea exactly who you are. Who is Kim Hicks?
Yeah, so I am currently the DFL endorsed candidate for Minnesota House 25A, which is Rochester. So 2 years ago, this seat was really, really red. It included a lot of Dodge County and a lot of rural territory. I got asked things in debate like that I knew nothing about. So as a person who lived in the city, right? And so this time with redistricting, it is Rochester and a little bit of Orinoco. So it's a much, much more urban district. And it's my home. I've been here forever. Moved here when I was in third grade, went to high school here, left for college, came back, and raising my very, very complicated family of five here in town. So,
you know, I will say this, as I'm a kind of a political wonk and I love looking at maps, especially the redistricting maps. And one of the things that was very clear, at least to me, was the Rochester area. I don't think the seats that it did have represented that area correctly. Now, I think these seats as they're drawn now are a much better representation of that community. Would you agree with that?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Rochester, you know, going back to, so when I was a kid, has really changed in the last, you know, 30 years. It's changed demographically. It's changed population-wise. It's changed across the board. And so as we look towards the future, I think it's important that our representatives reflect that change. Mm-hmm.
As you look at this district, this is one of the things that's amazing. And by the way, I want to encourage everyone, MinnPost has got their complete list of all the House and Senate races and who's running for everyone. Gives you all the breakdown on that, and it's a very good tool if you want to keep in track of who's running where. And one of the things which I find to be amazing is you don't have a Republican challenger yet down in 25A.
I don't. And I'm not sure who it will be. I have to tell you, I haven't even heard whispering. And that's great, so that's fun. But having lived here my whole life and grown up here, and know what this community needs and what this community is feeling, I just really feel like it's going to be hard to come and say, yeah, we actually feel that none of that's accurate, because it's not true. We need leaders who are committed to progressive values to move us forward. You know, Rochester, just like the rest of Minnesota, has major wealth disparities, and we've got to move that needle forward. And, you know, Rochester, it's known as the Med City, right? So we've got all, you know, lots of folks in healthcare, and we know that healthcare in this state is not working. It's not working for many, many people. It wasn't working for me. Mm-hmm. One of the stories that I tell about healthcare is that when my daughter, my youngest, was little, she had 8 pediatric ICU stays in the span of like a year. Mm-hmm. It was super, super intense for us. And my husband's insurance, through his employer, which was a self-insured plan, did not cover the formula, the elemental formula she needed at 1 year old to stay alive. And it was like $600 a month.
Wow.
To keep her alive. And yeah, no, it was intense. and her formula wasn't covered by his employer. My employer charged $225 per person on the plan. So that was also not financially sustainable, but we made too much money to qualify for public assistance, right? And because we were offered insurance through our employers, we couldn't, you know, tap into some of those other resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what I had to do?
What?
As a mom working full-time, already working full-time, running a nonprofit, I went to work at a group home company doing sleep overnight full-time. I worked two full-time jobs, 35 hours a week at the group home, 40 hours a week running a nonprofit while my husband worked 40 hours a week at his job to keep her alive. And even with all of that, do you know how much I took home from the group home, caring for people with disabilities full-time overnight? Every 2 weeks, I brought home $236.
Wow. You know, it
after we paid that insurance premium.
And, you know, what you just pointed out there is the real-world kitchen table mechanics of the whole thing is that, and we all want to remind everyone, what you just heard Kim describe is what Republicans want to put back in place at its harshest level, because they don't care. They just do not. And this system is broken because the insurance didn't cover things. You're having to work another job full time and hardly getting paid there. It is, and the curse that you, the great curse that you have is you love your children. And that is why you're in the situation you're in. That, in my mind, should not be the justification for people to bankrupt you.
Well, and you know what the worst part is?
What?
So now I ran a nonprofit, did all the fun stuff. Like, it was great. Worked program manager at a nonprofit. Loved the work, right? Love what I do now. But today, I'm a state employee, and I'm in a union. And I'm in a union that provides me with high-quality health care, right? Mm-hmm. And so today, my family, when I got breast cancer last cycle, when I ran and got breast cancer in the middle of the campaign, my family didn't go bankrupt because I was in a union, because I had protection. It was luck that we caught my cancer, and it was my union that protected my family from bankruptcy. All Minnesotans should have protection to do just that. It should not be purely based on who you work for that your family is able to survive or fail.
Mm-hmm.
We have too many Minnesotans who are not keeping their heads above water, and we can and should do better, and it is time to step up and do the work.
You know,
that's why I'm running.
And you know, it's another, the other side of that, the healthcare issue. I mean, the Mayo Clinic, it's a jewel of medicine. I mean, it really is. It's got, it's a great, great hospital there. Fairview Southdale, U of M Twin Cities Hospital, Abbott Northwestern. There's a lot of great hospitals, Children's in Minneapolis, great hospitals here. But what this pandemic exposed is that unless you are near these big cities, unless you're there, that the healthcare is not equal. And so let's get out into some rural areas where there is no unions to help out people, and there's no real good healthcare system out there. Nothing against the fine people that are working there, but they're underfunded, they're understaffed, and they're sparse. And that is it. We have to have a complete reimagining of the entire healthcare industry, from the side of the insurance to the inside of how much should people have to work to basically just love the children or the family members they have and want them alive, to making sure that, you know, quality healthcare is available to all people regardless of where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was going through cancer treatments, the amount of people that I would talk to in the waiting rooms and in the chemo room who were staying in Rochester or who were driving hours from Greater Minnesota because there was no oncology option, you know, within 3 hours of their home. So how do you do daily chemotherapy, right, for 4.5 hours plus drive 3 back and forth and still somehow get better and take care of your health? Hard.
Okay.
Hard, and it's not fair.
No, it's not. And it's and it's just you say it. I kind of tell you, one of the things I'm you're really very quickly running up the list of my favorite politicians at this point, because the way you say things is just so you say things so practically that are impossible for anyone to counterpoint on it, because you're coming at it from experience. It's very, if I can, and once again, Democrat of the day is Kim Hicks, 25A. This is a new district, basically north side of Rochester. DFL, good chance DFL is going to hold that seat. But when you look at the when you look at things here in with your kids, you got your you know as a family issue. Let's go to education. What are some of the things that you've noticed in the education system that need some help?
So I am super passionate about special education. Mm-hmm. I was a special ed teacher, left that because as it turns out, that was an administrative, like I actually liked children, and that's really hard to do with the funding issues that come with special education. So we have not fully funded special education ever from the federal level, and the state hasn't really made up the difference, and so our local districts have to make it up. And you know, like math is a fundamental skill. If it costs, if an IEP says that a child needs a one-to-one para and there isn't federal dollars and there aren't state dollars to pay for that one-to-one para, you know who has to pay for that? The local district. You know what that means? That means there's one less general ed para in kindergarten because we have a workforce shortage and we have a funding shortage. And so we've got to pay for it somewhere. And that creates us versus them. So us as parents of kids with disabilities on IEPs who are using resources and them being general ed teachers, parents who are drowning because we're not giving the support there either. It's not fair, and it's just another way that the Republicans are creating division between folks to try to prioritize their message. And it's wrong, and it needs to stop. All kids matter, and all kids need to be funded.
And I don't think what we're talking about here is, I think we can all agree, is not a budgetary line for slicing just because you want to give another billionaire a tax break. And I don't know if you've seen what they did up here in Hopkins where they kind of combined the special ed kids into the general school population. I think that that's a great program. It works on a lot of different levels. And that's the kind of education system we have, that we should have just one unified system that all kids participate in. And you can do that. It does cost a little money, but you end up with a much better education system and much better kids all around with that system. I saw it firsthand in Hopkins.
Yeah, well, and as it turns out, those people aren't going to be segregated and apart from each other as adults. So maybe we should work to be inclusive from the beginning.
Amen. A freaking men. And you know what was interesting is you say we talk about the special ed kids. Both my kids that went through school with the special ed kids merged in with the regular school, they all said it was so cool. It was so wonderful. And they just enjoyed it. And I'm like, why aren't we doing this? Why was it? And I've talked about this before. Why was it the RV shed behind the gym? That's where the special ed kids went. Why weren't they ever in here? And it's just I think we've approached this whole thing wrong. Yes, it might cost a few extra dollars, but we're getting a better education overall, and we're not creating an us-them environment starting in kindergarten that the Republicans want to push forward.
Exactly. And what we need to do, what we have to do, is fund special education. The feds have been promising us since the 70s, since they passed IDEA, that they were going to do this, right? Like they told us they were going to do it. They promised us they were going to do it. It's been a partially funded mandate for, I don't know, longer than I've been on the planet. So it's time. We have $9 billion. Could we take some of that money, please, and take care of our kids and fill in that gap and fill in that hole and fulfill the promise we have made to Minnesotan children?
Absolutely. And
it isn't rocket science.
Oh, it isn't. And you look at, you said it, we got a budget surplus here. Take a look at what the Republicans offered every school district. Zip. Nothing. And it always blows my mind out in these conservative parts of the state where the schools, they sit there and say, we can't get anyone to work here at the school. I said, really? You guys vilify them every step of the way, don't want to pay them, call them moochers, scream that you need to control what's going on in the classroom, tell them they're horrible people, but no one then wants to come work for you? Gee willikers, I wonder why. You know, it's a system that is broken. And if you trust a Republican with education, you're a fool. You haven't had an education, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, and one of the things I hear from families all the time is, they're working on kids with disabilities as part of this, right? So they'll say things like, well, the voucher program would give you options. You know what the voucher program would do for kids with disabilities? It would create a system where private schools would not be legally required to support them, accept them, or care for them, and we would have a whole lot of kids with disabilities left in our public schools with no funding and no support, and everybody would be like, oh, what happened there?
Yeah. Huh. Oh, exactly. Yeah, the voucher system. That's so you know, the rich guys can get their kids' private schools paid for by the taxpayers. That's what that's all about. It's not about improving education. As a matter of fact, considering the most kids you could take out of any school district in a voucher program into private schools or into a charter school or into a religious school, if you so choose. It would be about, what, 15% of the population of the school, which means 85% of the population gets left behind and gets nothing. And that's not a good policy.
No. And again, if a child has a disability, the private schools aren't required to take them.
Mm. Oh, and they're not
required to take them.
Yeah, and they're not going to. That's too much money. They're private school. They're about profit margins. They're not about making sure that they're inclusive. That's why kind of the general idea why they've got a lot of private schools is not to be inclusive, if you want to know the truth. That's the way I look at a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
And again, we're segregating people, right? And that doesn't work. It doesn't work, like you mentioned in your school up in Hopkins. When we integrate, when we work together, and when we create community, right? people with disabilities, people of different backgrounds and racial, ethnics, and religions, when we are of Minnesota.
Are you there? Oh, did we lose Kim? Oh, we lost Kim. All right. Well, you lost Kim, unfortunately, as he was driving around. Guys, you just heard this. Kim Hicks is fantastic. She's freaking fantastic. 25A, North Rochester. It's a blue district now. And Kim is, and I don't, you just heard Kim Hicks. I honestly feel as if the reason why the Republicans don't have a candidate is she's too good. They already know that they're going to lose, so they're already counting that as a loss. Go down. Help out. Volunteer. 25A. Rochester is cool. It's a great town. 25A, fantastic community. Head on down there. Volunteer, donate. Kim Hicks for MNHouse25A.com. That's Kim Hicks for FORMNHouse25A.com. I'll link to the website a little bit later on.